Lex Fusco is a writer originally from a small suburb outside Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She grew up an outsider, and not having many friends in her town, Lex made friends with the characters she watched on TV. The television shows she fell in love with influenced her growth as a writer, and she went to college to study screenwriting so that she could pursue a career as a storyteller. Her path would eventually lead her to Los Angeles, where Lex found success working in development. While she had many wonderful experiences, she found herself reading more scripts than she was writing. But reading those scripts helped Lex learn and develop more confidence in her own abilities, and now she's pivoted her career to focus 100% on the things that she wants most. I'm Bobby Gonzalez, and this is Spoken Dreams.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hi, I'm Lex. I am a writer, and I grew up in a small Abercrombie and Fitch suburb right outside of Philadelphia, where everyone was very pretty and slightly dewy for reasons no one knows or understands. But I was not fortunate in the Abercrombie and Fitch looks. I was the fat, weird kid, and that really kind of set me up for this want to be anywhere and anyone else. Growing up, like, probably my best friend was my Zenith television. And I, you know, was so excited to invite over, you know, the Winchester brothers or Buffy Summers or Angel or Sheriff Jack Carter from Eureka, and just like hang out with these people on a weekly basis. And I quickly realized that it was really cool as to how much I cared about these people that didn't exist. And when I was a junior in high school, I took this class called Fine Art Film and Animation with my photo teacher. And that's when I realized, oh, someone gets paid to make me care about those people. Maybe it's something that I could do too. I've always been a writer. I've always been a storyteller in some capacity. When I was younger, I was obsessed with CSI. And I wrote my own version of CSI when I was 11. I wrote this novel, and for those at home, I'm going to do air quotes around that. And I ended up getting like a Kinko's printed and bound copy of this book made. And it was really just like my first deep dive into creating a world and creating people inside that world. And that was really cool. It was terrible, but it was a great experience, at least at the end of the day. I forced my sister to read this book and then another book series that I wrote on several occasions. She never finished it because I quite literally sat next to her and stared at her as she read it to make sure she was like laughing at good points and stuff like that. And that was psychologically scarring. I'm so sorry, Sabrina. I appreciate you. Other than that, like, my teachers were always really impressed with how prolific my writing was, and that, like, I was one of those students that really engaged with stuff. I started applying to colleges I started with film, but then I realized that, like, screenwriting was actually where it was at. And I got into the Savannah College of Art and Design and NYU and stuff like that. But my home ended up being at Drexel University in Philadelphia. And it's one of the best decisions I've ever made. I've made a lot of like life-changing decisions. Not many people by the age of 24 have had to go through several metamorphoses. But Going to Drexel was probably the best thing I've ever done. First off, I was working with some of the smartest people in this industry. Ian Abrams, who is a professor there, he created the show Early Edition. And then Matthew Caulfield, who is the current program director, is amazing and has read so many terrible first drafts from me. And both of them are great because despite the fact of how endearing they find me, they weren't ever afraid to be like, hey, this doesn't make sense. What are you trying to say here? But I never really shared my writing with people. It was mostly like, you know, school gave me an awesome excuse to like do that. But my husband actually was the first person I ever met to ask to read something of mine with no obligation whatsoever. It was Accepted Students Day, and I was a sophomore and he was a senior, and this was at Drexel. And Accepted Students Day is when all the accepted students, and like seniors in high school, get to come and like do a grand tour of the film and video department. My job was to take the students and their parents who are asking too many questions from room to room. And Connor, my husband, was in the room talking about like Drexel and LA and co-op and stuff like that. Now, I was about to go to Los Angeles, like probably in the next like month and a half. So we're in the room like eating food, and Connor was talking to Caulfield about his senior project, which was called Kaiju, which was about giant monsters in San Diego. And Caulfield mentioned Ultraman. And my dad, who is awesome, he loves Ultraman. Like, that's his favorite thing ever. So I inserted myself in the conversation, being the resident Ultraman expert at Drexel. And Connor, you know, I guess was dazzled by how many words I was saying. And I asked if I could, like, read his script, if he wanted notes or whatever. And he was like, maybe on my next draft, but can you send me something of yours? And I was like, first off, not only was I really confused because this hot guy was being really nice to me, but like also no one had asked me that before. And I was like, sure. And so about a week went by and he sent me Kaiju and I sent him a terrible pilot I wrote that we don't talk about. And I was at his place from 3 o'clock in the afternoon until 5 a.m. the next morning, where we just talked story. We dove into his, we dove into mine. We started like just talking about other ideas that we had. We started talking about movies and television and how, you know, how we react to those things. And it was so magical and great, and I had no idea that he liked me despite spending over 12 hours with me. But something that I like remember leaving his place and walking home in the dawn of, you know, Philadelphia was, wow. I think I just met the first person who sees what power words have, how I see them. And that was really rad. And then I went to LA, and he kept me company over, you know, text and FaceTime, and it was really nice. And he ended up moving out to LA so that we could be roommates. And then we started dating and accidentally fell in love, and then we got married. So so at Drexel, you have to complete a 6-month internship experience, basically, in whatever field of study you're doing. And it's difficult for students in Philadelphia to get internships in Los Angeles, like especially when they are so necessary for wanting to have a career in the entertainment industry. So Abrams created Drexel in LA in order to allow us the opportunity to physically be in LA and scrounge for internships there, so that when co-op comes around, we've already have an LA internship on our our resume. And I panic professionally about everything, and so when I came out to Los Angeles in 2015 as a young bab, I was like, oh no, I don't know if this will work out. And then I accidentally murdered the internship game. I was like, oh, there's a way that I get to be creative, work with story, and still get paid, which was in development. So that summer, I was an intern at Heroes and Villains, which was amazing, and then I got pneumonia, as one does as a 19-year-old in 2015, and while, you know, on my deathbed, I started applying to other internships, and I ended up getting an internship at Millennium Films, and then I was the longest intern in Millennium's history, which was amazing. I was there for almost a year, and then I was also interning at Lionsgate and Blumhouse, all in the same 5-day work week, which I don't recommend for most humans. But it was an adventure nonetheless. It was a whirlwind and it was really great. And while I was at all those internships, and if any, you know, students are listening to this or any, you know, aspiring writers, if you can get an internship that forces you to do script coverage, it's one of the best things that you can do as a writer. Reading all of those scripts from terrible to life-changingly amazing will make you a better writer. And it really did help me. Recently, I made a really big change where I was like, you know what? I gotta try to be a writer. I recently got a manager, which is great. His name is Brian Brooks. He's super smart and he's awesome and he's read all of my stuff and I have a lot of stuff. And there was this finally a chance and a shot of, hey, the thing that you earned your degree in, you can actually make happen. And by the way, I have a Bachelor of Science in screenwriting, a literal BS in story, and if that is not the funniest thing you've heard today, then I spent way too much money on that piece of paper. And so I made the change and I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to be a writer. And I've got like a bucket of features and television shows that I've written. I'm working on a children's book right now, and it's just, you know, I'm writing all the time. I get really bogged down in details. I love cracking open worlds and like making interesting things happen in them. And, you know, I want to write stories where people just get to not be in their everyday lives for 42 minutes. And first off, I think that's like an astounding little superpower. And second, I think that's why we watch movies and television. We want to feel emotions with no real-world consequences. Catharsis is great when you don't have to pay for it in any way, shape, or form. I mean, unless it's $11.99 a month for Hulu. Looking back on it, like, one of the things that, like, really kept me going as a, you know, child is this idea that, you know, there was somewhere for me to go that wasn't here. And I think that's something really cool and fun. And when I tell people like about like stuff that I'm working on and that I'm writing, and I like getting excited about it, but I love the look on people's faces when I pitch them something that I'm working on and get them excited about it. I think at the end of the day, I really enjoy making people happy or making people feel things in general. My friend Ernie, he recently told me, he's like, you need to focus on not making people feel as much as, because people go to the movies sometimes to not feel things. And I was like, well, I think that active goal right there means that they are going to the movies to feel something. They're trying to feel not angry. They're trying to feel not annoyed. The goal of apathy is still a feeling in some way, shape, or form. We consume these things not to just fill time, but to, you know, just be somewhere else for a minute. And I think there are a wealth of stories that are out there that, you know, are great. And then there's also a wealth of stories out there that I don't know why they're being told, but that's because those stories aren't for me. They're for other people. And I think everyone should have an opportunity to watch something that, you know, makes them feel something other than what they're feeling now. I really lucked out where my mom is like one of the most powerful people that I know, and she's brilliant and she's awesome and she's like made of Kevlar and it's great. But when I told her I wanted to go to Drexel, this like $65,000 a year university for screenwriting to write movies, instead of doing the, you know, Hallmark response of, oh, okay, well, how about you get a real job and then write, like for fun or something like that. Or you're going, don't make your degree from a hobby. She was like, great, let's go. Let's figure out how to make it happen. And she like came with me to my Accepted Students Day, and she encouraged me to make a website, which has actually been great and super helpful. Like, she and my dad have been in my corner since day one, because they were like, Oh, yeah, no, this makes complete sense because this has always been who you are. So I think if you have people like that, people to tell you, like, oh, yeah, no, that totally makes sense that you would do that. It's a good sign. I know this seems obvious, but if you want to be a writer, you have to write. You have to write a lot of stuff. Even if some of that stuff is awful, you have to keep writing. You have to keep putting it on the page. And also, this is something that you absolutely have to believe in and be ready for. It's not like you're not going to have bad days where you're like, okay, I'm absolutely ready to give up. And you can give up for 48 hours or so, or even a week, and that's fine. Having bad days are okay. Having a point in time where you regret every single decision you've made is, you know, par for the course. But as long as you're writing, as long as you're telling stories, and as long as you're constantly trying to improve those things, just keep doing what you're doing.
That was Lex Fusco. Visit the website, ktla.com/spokendreams, for links where you can see more from Lex. She's also working on a podcast called A for Effort, where she's going to do Mystery Science Theater-like readings of her earlier, maybe not so good writing, like her novel, Secrets Behind the Secrets. That's the CSI story she talked about in this episode. It's all in good fun and really to highlight the growth and progress all writers make from wherever they started. Tell us what you thought of this episode. Leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Follow at KTLA Podcasts on Instagram and Twitter to stay up to date with all the podcasts we're doing here at KTLA. And if you want to say hi to me, you can follow me on Instagram at SoundsLikeBobby. Thanks for listening, and until next time, break a leg.